Yeah, so let's take whatever we're wherever we're at, and we'll dive in to the Book of Micah. I really like background information, especially when I in the Old Testament, because I don't know what's going on. It's very crazy in the Old Testament, and usually the background and the maps help me orient myself. So I'm hoping that it will orient you when we're going through these books. So background. So here's what's going on in the Book of Micah. He is prophesying to the nation of Israel mainly. Remember, we have Southern Kingdom and the Northern Kingdom. Where is Israel? You guys remember? You have Israel and Judah, right? Judah is in the southern part. Israel is in the northern part. So during this time, there were three kings. He was the prophet during these three kings. And these three kings is in Judah, southern kingdom. And there were good, bad, and good. And Hezekiah is one of the good kings, the more popular ones. So I just kind of highlighted. It's also a time where the northern kingdom collapsed, meaning they're gone. This is the last of it. So this is when Micah was prophesying. The northern kingdom of Israel collapsed. No more. That was the end of it. But the southern kingdom, the king of Judah, kings of Judah and Judah continues. Okay. And that's what we have Israel today, the Jews. So the southern kingdom was spared. And part of the reason why they were spared is because when the Assyrians came in, they wiped out the northern kingdom, right? The southern kingdom, they spared because King Hezekiah negotiated with them. Give you some money. And Southern King King Hezekiah, actually all these kings kind of negotiated. They were on better terms. They didn't fight. Okay, they said, hey, let's work together, but we will be your servants. There's really no choice. So the Assyrians decided you are spared. But this is also within God's sovereignty, right? They had to be spared so that we have the nation of Israel today. And because they're spared, they're also before the invasion of the Syrians, they were actually in prosperity already. So they were doing very well, meaning that they had enough food. They were growing as a nation economically. They were happy. They were taking vacations. They were building houses, growing their businesses, having kids, having marriages, right? These are good times. So that's prosperity of the nation. And that's what was going on during Micah's reign as a prophet, if you will. So also Hezekiah prayed to God during this time for God to spare the nation of Judah, I mean, well, the southern kingdom, right? And actually Isaiah was also a prophet at this time. You guys know Isaiah. So he was also a contemporary with Micah. He was also a prophet. Now, I found this interesting where Hezekiah is a good, bad, 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 bad. All the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, they're all bad, right? And they're good ones. And I just wanted to ask, what is a good king? According to, I think you mentioned that in one of your sermons. Was it last week? You barely touched it, or maybe, oh. Your Sunday school last week kind of touched upon that. What is a good key? Not according to worldly counsel, but what is a good king according to what God
one,
says?
One that follows God.
One that, what do you mean following God?
Obeys.
Obeys, okay.
Because the other kings like worship other idols.
Yeah, okay.
So a good king
worships God.
Worships, follows God, obeys God.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
makes God the God, God is God.
Is God. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I learned something too. You know how we say Yahweh, the Hebrews Yahweh, and then this, you know, the Israelites say, I can't say Yahweh because name of God, YHWH can't say it. So they say Adonai, right? Adonai, just God or Lord, right? But then I thought, I don't hear the Jewish people saying Adonai a lot. But, you know, the new generation, like the kids, or I guess we're all kids, right? Yeah, so like we're still young. The new generation, they don't say Adonai. Just daily language. You know what they say? Yeah, they say Hashem. And I started using that. Hashem. Shem is the Hebrew name, a Hebrew word for name. Shem. Ha is the. They call God the name. That's still very respectful, right? Yeah, because so they're carrying on this tradition. They just don't call Yahweh or Adonai. They still will use that, but they when they go around, they call when they talk about Jehovah, they go Hashem, the God, the name. Yeah, so they really are attuned to the respect and the reverence of God. This is the name. Is that cool? That was Hashem. That's how they like Hashem. Anyways. That's something I came across when studying. So yeah, worship. Yeah. Anything else that constitutes a good king by God, by Hashem? Any idea? Take down the high places, yes. That's kind of along the worship, like no, that's a big deal. Yeah, that's no idolatry, right? Yes. Anything else? Or any idea? What do you think is a good key? What would you like as a king? Keyword. If you were in Israel or anywhere, what would you like in a good king?
Something that's kind of cool, and I just realized this now as you're talking about it, but like if you're reading some of the Old Testament, some kings have that practice of like, let's go back to the archives. They summon someone to look back and look at what has been written. So going back to the word, right?
Okay.
So having of like, let's go back to the word.
Mm-hmm.
When that king remembers to go back, usually they discover something that paves the way for the future, and God honors that. So I think going back to the archives, going back to the word.
Okay, going back to the word. And what do you think? Name some things that they discovered. Do you know what they discover when they go back?
Yeah, I think one of them would be like the root, what was built once or should be rebuilt or, you know, all of that, like, what happened, and then should I rebuild, or
oh, okay.
They remember something like that.
Yeah, yeah, rebuilding of what God, what the people tore down,
right.
Temple, right, and defiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the humanity part is like the kings forget too,
yeah.
Right? Like we are all limited to a certain number of days. But
yes, they forget.
The wise king goes
yeah.
back to the archives to discover.
Goes back, I like that. There's another one. I guess I'll show it. So going back to the archives, deal with morality, right? Like this is what is right, this is what's wrong. But these were the only three things that constitutes a good king, biblically speaking. Kevin, can you read that for us?
Deuteronomy 17, 18 and 20. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of his law, taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees and not consider Israelites and turn from the law to the
talking about king before the king. And this continues, right? These are kind of the three main things. Of course, you know, there's basic stuff like, you know, no embezzlement and all that, but that all goes into welfare too, right? Welfare is welfare for the people.
Well, specifically, yeah. I think what we see a lot of the sins of God's people is the neglect of the oppressed.
Mm, yeah.
Even the foreigners in the midst, or those who are poor. The
yeah.
poor and the oppressed, I think, matter to God so much. And a lot of the failure, yeah, I guess, yeah, that's like welfare.
Yeah, and surprisingly, this is, we talked about earlier, this is during the time of prosperity. So it's strange, but that happens today, right? We're in a time of prosperity. But yet, Micah King, we will see that Micah is speaking to welfare. In the time of prosperity, you have the greatest oppression of the poor. And God was not happy. Neither was Micah, because Micah is the prophet. He's the mouthpiece. So this guy goes, lays into the kings, right? The leaders. Of course, morality, we always know about idols. That's common worship. But the welfare part is a big, big theme for Micah. In the midst of prosperity, yet you oppress. You want more. You keep more. And that's why Jesus comes, right? He comes to save the lost and the poor and, you know, comes to heal, right? Usually these are the poor. So that's something to keep in mind. That's what is a good king. And Micah is coming to prophesy against bad kings. And this is kind of a map to kind of orient you. You see Israel on the top. And then you see the southern kingdom, Judah, on the bottom. There's different verses. We're not going to go into that right now. It's a very clear map. I like this one. Of course, I'm drawing attention to Philistia. that's where the war is happening. I want to bring it back to today, right? Where is that place? Gaza. Man. You know what's interesting with all the fight, and I'm not going to go into it, but I want to point something out, is Philistia, or the Philistines. Who was the great soldier of the Philistines that you guys know? The greatest soldier ever in history in the Philistines.
Goliath.
Huh?
Goliath.
Yeah, Goliath. You have always have an enemy of the Israelites. Goliath comes, right? And David, you know, does this thing. You guys know. In the Philistines, is the root word for Palestine. Because when the Romans conquered the Jews after Jesus, right? Okay. The Romans named the land Palestine. Strange. It's supposed to be land of Canaan, at least, right? Or Israel. But they wanted to keep, so they wanted to wipe the Jews out. So they wanted to wipe the name out, so they call it Palestine as a form of shame. I'm going to name your land.
Oh, but that was
of your greatest enemy.
That was the Israelites lived there at that time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to just wipe you off. I'm going to wipe your history away, even your land's name. Not only that, I'm not just going to call it anything. I'm going to call it your enemy's name. You see, this is strange. And I'm going to call it Palestine. That's why you have that country. Hey, the land is called Palestine.
That's fine.
But if you go back further, it's not Palestine. It was Philistia by the sea. From the land to the sea, we shall be free, right? With his chant in the Palestinians, right? So this history is interesting. And guess, there's more. Guess what Palestine means, Philistia means in Hebrew. God named them. So it means soldiers. Land of the sojourners. Actually, land of sojourners. It doesn't mean sojourners. It means the land of sojourners. And that's how they feel. They feel they have no land. They feel that they are oppressed. And that's how they feel, and they have every right to feel that.
But
their actual name.
That was before that they were, they named themselves the Philistines.
Well,
before,
yeah, that's, they were just called the Philistines in the Bible. Yeah. Interesting, but the Hebrew name for Philistia is land of sojourners. They've always been sojourners, even till today. They're still sojourners. And that's not to make light of. And that's very hard to be someplace where you have no home and you don't know where your land belongs. But the name itself embedded in their nation is the land of sojourners. They have no place to go. Which is probably why, I mean, Goliath was fighting them. Goliath wasn't just the one bad, you know, I'm just an ogre. I don't know why I'm fighting, right? That's what we think. But he was standing up for his nation because they want their sojourners. They need a land. But it's all connected. I just thought it was, you guys can check that yourself. Very interesting. They wanted to erase Jewish presence from the land. Part of it was changing the name. It's always the name. So this is kind of the timeline. Here, was, you see Micah right there, right? The northern kingdom exiled to Assyria, no more. They're done. Down here, Micah, the story continues all the way to Jesus. That's where southern kingdom is. And this is right before Babylon. So Babylon is the next great enemy, right? That will come and take them away. We talked about that in Obadiah. But Micah hasn't reached that point yet. We're still in the Assyrian period. So that's where. So let's talk about the enemy at hand, Assyria. Who are they? They're the ones that who came and wiped out the northern kingdom. I have like three maps here. So this is the bigger one, if you guys see, that is the ancient Assyrian Empire. That's how much they took. That's a lot. Part of Egypt, right? And all of Israel, of course, Israel is like tiny. They took everything. They were the baddest boys on the block. They were just conquering everything. And this the right is the modern day map. And you see Syria, which is next to Israel right now, they're part of the Syrians. That's what they call Syria. Now, Syrians conquered a lot more, but Syria is the only nation that actually carried over the actual name from Assyrians. So this is still connected. You have the Assyrians right next to Israel today. They still want to conquer them, right? And then Assyrians used to conquer Turkey, Iran, Saudi Arabia. They were all, they all belonged to the Assyrians back then. So the Assyrians in Syria are no different. Are they, they're considered an enemy of Israel today? They were an enemy of Israel back then. This is just Wikipedia information. Syria has been in a war with Israel since 1948. Either big or small, they have been in, they have declared war with Israel. Syria has never recognized Israel as legitimate state or country. They don't talk about Israel as a country. Syria does not accept Israeli passports. It's not legitimate. So they are hostile. So that's no different. Okay. So the Assyrians came in, took away the southern kingdom. To them, Israel is still a servant. They are not a real nation. They belong to them. They belong to them. Which is why when this whole thing happened, right? Syria is fighting them indirectly or directly now. So you have the Gaza, you have the Philistia fighting within Israel, right? The Gaza Strip. Then you have the Syrians also fighting in now because they see an opportunity. So that's flaring up. This is current information. So it is Micah happening again. So when we read Micah, there's really a connection there. It's not some far off history that we can't see and feel. Actually, we can't because it's sin, right? And I just want, anyone has any comments, questions? Again, I don't know all the geopolitical details, but this is just to give us some bearings as to what's going on and how is that connected to the book of Micah. Yeah. Any questions, comments online? I know it's a lot of information in the beginning, but I think it'll help. Let's talk about Micah himself, right? He was born city called Moresheth Gath. He had his calling. This is a lot of verses there. I don't know why. But I'll go back to that. He had a bizarre behavior. If you guys want to go to, somebody go to Micah 3:8 and someone goes Micah 1:8. Can you just read that for us?
Micah
3:8. 3:8, can you read that?
But as for me, I am filled with power, with the spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin.
Okay, so he's had to say that. He says, as for me, I'm filled with power, with the spirit of the Lord, with justice and might. So he's speaking really boldly of who he is, his calling. And that's because there's so many false prophets at that time, different messages. And we'll get into that, I don't know about today, but next week. It's both are good messages from God, but different. It's so confusing. I love it, right? But Micah says, I'm the one. Okay, he had to say that I'm the one filled with power, blessed by God, with the Spirit, right? At that time, this Holy Spirit wasn't even everywhere, right? Not like today, because I'm the one with the Holy Spirit. And the other prophet said, whoa, 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 whoa. Who are you to say you're with this? So there was a lot of contention going on. He wasn't just like, okay, I'm the prophet, you listen to me. No, there was other prophets. He was contending with false prophets too. So this was his calling. And he had to kind of stand his ground. And I wonder about what he says. I wonder about when he says, I'm full of the Spirit and power. Do we have the same? Holy Spirit, I ask this question because I ask it to myself. The reason why I ask you, I always ask myself. Do we have the same Holy Spirit? Are we filled with power, justice, and might? In question, Sunday school answer is yes. Yeah, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pretend you're filled. How would you act? Do we discuss? No, this is pretend, okay? Let's pretend. It's okay. We don't have to take it so seriously, okay? Yeah. Let's pretend you're filled. How would you act? How would you act? Because this, again, this helps us to just wrestle with the text, understand Micah better, right? Because I'll show you how Micah acted, but no way are we going to copy him. But let's just pretend. If you were filled, how do you think you would act? I had my wisdom tooth pulled out a month ago. Four of them.
Oh, wow.
And I said, just do it local. I can take it. The doctor says, I'm good. I ain't that good. You're going to hear it. It's going to hurt. And once I start, I can't stop. You do whatever. I'm a doctor. You tell me. And I'm holding red hands. Let's do it. It's okay. Once you go under, they take it out. You don't have to keep coming back.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I never went under. I'm a little nervous. What if I don't wake up? I'm like, okay, Lord, that's fine. So I went under. I said, Lord, I'm yours, right? I said, if I wake up, and we'll be with you, right? Or not. So I'm so glad. So he's talking to me. Next thing I know, I woke up and I didn't know where I was and I didn't know how I was going to act because I was worried because I see videos of people acting weird, right? I was acting in Rich had her camera. I was acting very weird. I didn't know. And because I was under the anesthesia, I felt really good though. I was like, yeah, what happened? They're so good. I was giving thumbs up to the nurses, you know. There's a lot of other things I won't go into, but anyways, there's the reason I share that because there's some type of relation. There's a similarity here because the Bible says we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We're not like drunken men, but it's almost like you're under the influence of something. How would you react? You don't have to know, but what would it be like if you imagine? I imagine how I was going to react now from that influence of the anesthesia. But how would you react? What do you think? Come on, it's fine. Sure.
You know, like my picture,
yeah,
first pop into my head is like, you know, in the original Spider-Man 3,
okay,
where Tobey Maguire is,
yeah,
like, got possessed with the Venom suit and is like, he's walking on the street like all confidently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So confidence.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, yeah, he got the suit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think Michael was pretty confident here. Yeah. You right? Okay. You think, how would you react? How would you act? Have you ever thought about it? Sophia?
Speaking boldly,
like how?
Not fear of anything, just like, hey, this is Ryan. This is what you should do. They're just not to think of, oh, what if or
oh,
what
dear.
If, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not just stopping you from saying things that you want to say or do things you want to do because you know it's coming from the God and
okay.
That's the
right. Yeah.
Power, so just go for it.
Go for it.
Again,
yeah.
Confidence.
Confidence, right? Yeah, okay.
Boldness.
Boldness, confidence. You're not vacillating back and forth. You're just, okay, I'm going to do it. Okay, right? Anyone else? If you're filled with the Spirit, like Micah, what would you do? What would you, how would you act? Same? Confidence? Anything else?
I think that's assuredness of where that confidence comes from.
Mm.
So it's not just because you think you're Spider-Man, it's because you are Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're not thinking anymore. Oh, you don't think anymore. You know.
You're a Spider-Man.
I am.
Spider-Man.
I am now. I'm going to walk out. And they said, I don't think it's Spider-Man. Okay, so you're confident. And that's where I think that's what Micah is, right? He proclaimed it. Okay, now you don't think you are. You are. That's very philosophical. Now you are. And you act accordingly. Okay. Amazing, yeah. That's a good feeling to have. Good place to be, right? And that comes from the Spirit of God, which gives you that power. I think that's the only thing that, well, there's other spirits too that give you power. I think people search for it because they also want the same feeling. But they don't believe in Hashem. They don't believe in our God, the universe. But they're seeking power too, because they want to feel that way. They want to feel confident. Okay. So Micah has the Spirit of God in him. He's bizarre. Micah 1:8. Did anyone look at 1:8? Can you guys read that?
For this, I will lament and wail. I will go stripped and naked. I will make lamentations like the jackals and mourning like the ostriches.
Gosh, I love that word. Ostriches. My spirit animal. Okay, so this is not just him hallucinating. In fact, Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 22:4, he says the same thing. And now, this is a new information for me. John the Baptist is following the same footsteps. They're all following the same footsteps. If they don't just do things out of nowhere, there's history. Just like musicians, like what was your, you know, anytime you ask musicians, what was your
inspiration?
They always say, it's always from the past. Like, you know, Elvis, the old ones, right? The Beatles, I listened to the Beatles, whatever. That makes them, now they have their own style, but they heard that somewhere else. And that's, prophets have these, there's prophets rock stars, right? They think, oh, my inspiration is from Isaiah. My inspiration is from Micah, John the Baptist, right? If you watch The Chosen, good show, I highly recommend it. So good. But Jesus even says it in the show. Okay, it's not in the Bible, but Jesus says, you're kind of weird, bro. Because kind of weird, because even Jesus says, this is what I'm confident, this is what I've been called to do, I'm the prophet. He's okay, just be careful. Right? And Micah, what does Micah, what does it say?
That he's a
jackal. No. He stripped himself naked.
Naked. He's a naked prophet.
I will cry. This is very similar to John the Baptist. Okay, I mean, he didn't strip. Like, he was eating weird stuff. He will cry. He will mourn. The ostriches apparently are known for the mourning and haunting cries at night. Okay, in the desert. Apparently, I didn't know. That's my spirit language. I have haunting cries inside. You can't hear it. Only Alex hears it sometimes. And Revs. Right? Yeah. My wife and my friends hear it. But Micah was doing that. And just imagine if anybody walks down the street naked and cries. What is he doing? What was Micah doing? What do you think Micah was doing? What do you think John the Baptist was doing? It's so strange and crazy. That's why you love the Bible. It's not a neat, this is not man-made. It's like real crazy stuff.
What did John Baptist do?
He went into the desert, he ate honey and locusts, and he wore, like, he doesn't shave, and he, like, he goes in there. Huh?
Camel's hair.
Camel's hair. It's
like,
prickly.
His clothing.
Weird. 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 Yeah. And he probably has like locust stuck in his teeth. Yeah. He comes to someone and say, hey, I am under the spirit of God. Eating grasshopper. Listen to me. And the Messiah is coming. Okay.
So what's the question is, what's the...
Why are the prophets like, why are they doing this? Why is Micah doing this? I don't expect an answer, but I like to ask these questions, right? When we ask these questions, I think it helps us to try to understand, like, what are we reading? What is the Bible talking about? And we believe this?
Well, I mean, like, going by modern day people, just not an answer, thinking out loud. But usually, like, people that like to walk around without shoes on, right? Like, and they're the CEO, let's just say. I just watched this movie. It's interesting. But they do something provocative that's so, like, they're done with the norm. They're done with this, like, formality of this
right,
game.
Yeah.
So they want to be provocative and be completely different. Like,
shocking,
I don't respect what's going on here because none of this matters anymore. So they're just being something, they don't care about that. And the only way to express that, it's not the fact that they care of how they're expressing it. It just comes out that way. Like, I don't really care anymore. None of this matters.
Yeah.
None of this matters. Don't you guys see?
Yeah.
And
this is what matters.
And it comes out as very different, provocative, and bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. No, in no way is the Bible teaching... I just want to say that because people can take it the wrong way.
Naked worship.
No, okay? Because that's faith. However, this is part of the history of the Bible. Okay? This is a biblical story, and this is God's people. This is our heritage, spiritual heritage. There's something here. There's something to what Nancy says. Yeah, I'm done with this. There's something more important. I don't care about the surface stuff anymore. I'm under the spirit of God and I'm called to do something. I'm bold now. I know who I am. I'm not just doing this religious act anymore. So, right? And not only that, he's a prophet. He's got something to say. He knows it too. And this, what he's got to say when we read it, it is not your normal, hey, how's it going, guys? Love God. Love people. He's got something to say. So, and John the Baptist had something to say. Big time. I know the Messiah's coming. And the Jews were like crazy. That's why they killed Jesus. And they killed him. Well, the emperor killed him. But no, you are blasphemous. The Messiah's not coming. So when somebody's torn saying, this is like, it's trying to get people's attention. I have something so important to say. This is Sunday. Guy's like an ostrich in my head. But they notice him. They notice him.
And this is
Micah. Micah from Nourish Your Cat. That's crazy. But he got something to say. He says he's bold. He is bold. Yeah, you got to be bold to do something. So they know him. They got his attention. Whether they believe him or not, he's got their attention. That's Micah. I didn't know he was like this. Did you guys know? I did not. But I'm not saying this. That's who he was. Yeah, so this is kind of the outline of Micah before we get into it. He's going to have judgment upon Jerusalem. The leaders, that's why Jerusalem is where the leaders are. He's going to talk about salvation. It's going to talk about principles of godly life. We're closed. but that's my, he's done with the, whatever these leaders are doing, whatever these kings that are bringing honor to God, right? He says, I'm in power, I have a message from the Lord. I'm going to tell you, here's what God says. He goes right into it.
He's telling the leaders of Jerusalem, right?
Of Jerusalem.
What's the word? So it's basically, he's basically doing like a shame on you. Why are you building an alliance to Assyria, right?
What,
what's happening?
Yeah, he's Micah is approaching the leaders and he says, I'm under the spirit of God. I have a message for you.
And
he's picking a fight type of thing, right? Yeah. I'm getting everyone's attention because I have something to say. I'm a prophet. I'm the true prophet. There's other prophets prophesying to the leaders too. But he says, I am the true prophet against, and the messages are different. And we'll see that next. And it's not like the false prophet was saying, go worship the idols. No, that would be too obvious. The prophets, the false prophets are also saying, this is what God says. Micah says, no, that's not what God, whoa, what's going on here? Who do I believe? What is God saying? Right. So that's what Micah is contending with as he's prophesying. And we'll see how that plays out. I think that'll be interesting.
He's condemning the leader.
He's condemning the leaders. We talked about earlier the welfare part.
And it's because that they're building an alliance with Assyria.
No, not in this one. He's talking about
oppression,
mainly oppression of the poor. Like they're very rich right now, prosperous. He's talking about morality within the kingdom. Even without the Assyrians involved, they are not worshiping God. They are oppressing the poor, and they are their morality has declined. Sounds like a nation that we know. Sounds like it. I think we can understand it. It's not so far off. Okay. And this prophet is saying, I have something to say to the nation, to the president, to the leaders of the councils, whatever you want to call it. And that's where chapter one starts. Okay. And in all of that, next week when we go in, we'll see these main theologies, the understanding of what this book is about. Okay, this is the outline. This is what the book is about. It is about social justice and welfare. It is about judgment. Why is it? It is about, which is, this is very special, right? It is about Jesus. That's what Micah talks about at the end. He doesn't know what he's talking about, but he is talking about the messianic king that is to come, who is Jesus. So he does have something to say. And the way he delivers it is very weird. Yeah. So don't judge a book. Don't judge a person by their shirt. Okay. I don't know. Yeah.
For their lack of
shirt. For their lack of shirt. Okay. So yeah. Okay. We'll end it here. Father, thank you for your word. Without your word, we would be lost, not have understanding. We would not be, would not have words of comfort, words of, words to point us to you. Without your spirit, we will not have even understanding of your words. We want to honor you this morning. Even though we came into the room in different places with different mindsets, Lord, you see all of our spirit, bodies, and minds, and your work personally with all of us individually. Thank you. We pray that this time has been fruitful for all of us, and that your spirit is speaking to us, and your spirit fill us. Give us boldness, give us a message, help us to speak, help us not doubt, stir up our faith, so that we can glorify you, so that we can bring message to this lost world. Thank you for this time. We pray for our worship service. Pray for your presence to be upon everyone, to the room, to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.